Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, friends. The world got you down? Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
Movie night. This week we are talking about Phantasm 3 Lord of the Dead from 1994, which came out 30 years ago. So Kyle, was that the only reason why you picked this, or were you just blown away that we hadn't? I'm shocked.
Well, no, what was the follow-up question, because maybe that is an answer to that too.
Did you not know we hadn't done the first Phantasm yet? Because like, we haven't.
I don't think unless we have now, yeah, no kidding. I mean, we can talk about the first Phantasm pretty in depth.
I feel like we owe it to ourselves to do a proper episode for the first Phantasm and then never talk about this franchise again.
I would agree.
Oh, you don't want to talk about Phantasm 4 Oblivion?
No. Or
which
Phantasm
is
5 Ravager.
Oh, that's real bad. Yeah, anyway, Kyle, was there another reason why you thought that maybe this was a good idea?
I don't think it was a bad idea. Also,
I hadn't seen it. I didn't say that.
Yeah.
Matt.
No, it's okay. I mean, you're not... Even if you thought that, I wouldn't take offense. I thought that I hadn't seen it before. And
you checked your letterbox, and you were giving
it wasn't even on my
stars.
Letterbox. It wasn't.
You were like
wasn't.
Midway through the movie, and you're like, wait, I've seen this.
You were like, as soon as Rocky comes out with nunchucks, I'm like, okay, I do sort of remember this, which I'm so mad that my virtual background can't work because I had the whole gang behind me in this mausoleum. And listen, I'm just going to kick things off real quick because I have the perfect drink for this. I got a buzz ball because the ball is
back. Oh,
yeah.
Woo. And I have a tall boy for the tall man of Liquid Death, Rest in Peach.
Nice.
Yeah, I had so many really ideas great. For this because I know that there's a lot of like yellow goo in the Phantasm movies. And my first note is, how many gallons of stadium mustard, like yellow mustard, do you think that they've used in this franchise? But the second question is, do you guys think that it would have been better for me to have this Rest in Peach, which is, you know, palatable, or for me to do a shot of pickle juice because it's kind of yellow?
I don't want to see you suffer.
No,
enjoy your Rest in Peach,
baby. I don't want that for you.
Look,
yeah.
I suffered enough for Toxie too.
Yeah. Here's a great thing about Phantasm 3 is, if this is your first Phantasm movie, boy, do they get you caught up on what happened in the previous one.
But then they throw you right off the cliff, dude.
Yeah.
Then they throw you to the wolves after this because, like, they get you caught up. And then they're like, yeah, but you don't need to know any of that.
Well,
this
so this is the thing that I kind of do like about the Phantasm movies. Because there's not a ton of other movies that Don has made. You know what I mean? No. Like, it's these and, like, Bubba Hotep and John Dies at the end.
Though my
like,
Anchor Bay DVD tells you otherwise. Kenny and Company had a trailer.
Yeah.
there was one other. Oh, Survival Quest had a trailer.
But I appreciate that, like, this is this weird passion project that, like, it feels like it was like a story that he wanted to keep telling, because every single one of them ends on a cliffhanger and mm-hmm. then picks up where that cliffhanger left off. And that continues into Oblivion. Oblivion yeah. starts right where this movie ends. Like, I do appreciate that he was, like, trying to tell a story. Is it necessarily a story I want to hear is up for debate. But
that's
like
the rub.
I applaud someone being like, no, this is just like a story that I want to tell in these chapters. And like, and there are people who love these movies. I think that the first two are absolutely delightful. I think the first one mm-hmm. is a great example of like an interesting, unique, low budget 70s horror film made amongst friends. And I think that the second one,
I mean, Reggie
is,
Bannister wouldn't have any sort of career without it.
No. He'd have as much of a career as he has a hairline. Just But like,
man, it grows down the back.
Boy, does it. Dude. It's no stopping in the back. It's a party back there. Yeah. But like, mm-hmm. but like the second one is like exactly what you want to see when that group of friends is given a bigger budget to do something more interesting. Yeah. And like the time between these movies is kind of crazy. Because I think the first one's 78.
Yeah. And
I think the
80s,
second one's
88.
Then this one was 94.
94, yeah.
Then
yeah.
98, and then 2016.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, it's
so
way
like,
later.
It's chaos.
It's chaos. Could
a,
you imagine? Could you imagine being a diehard Phantasm fan?
Nope.
Waiting for that fifth one. You waited almost two full decades to get the conclusion of the Phantasm story.
But is it really even a conclusion? Because Don Coscarelli is going to be like, yeah, I got another one in the chamber. Here's the thing
one.
I love
yeah.
about
yeah.
Don Coscarelli is that he is so DIY. He also wrote the soundtrack for Phantasm. Yeah. He did that theme song, which I've covered it for Console Crash. I was in Horrors 1. And I love that theme.
That theme's great.
The thing that sucks so much about doing horrors EPs, the thing that sucks about it is that the well is getting a little dry with shit that I really want to do. And so I'm having to be a little bit more creative with or more oblique with what I am like, yeah, sure, these are things that I think I could get a really good cover out of, because I really blew my wad on the first two horrors EPs. I got you like... You know, Don Coscarelli, I haven't done any Christopher Young. Anyway, I know that we've really lost the plot here. What I'm saying is that I love Don Coscarelli for how scrappy he is. He's got that same kind of, like, I don't like this movie, but I really respect it. You know, this is like the third time I've watched this movie. Like, I thought I'd watched it one time with my best friend Mario in high school and thought it sucked. Apparently, I watched it one time in college or something like that, because I remembered everything once it turned on.
No, dude, and that's what. Yeah,
these movies. Here's what I think is the positive and negative of the Phantasm movies, with the exception of the first two. Honestly, is I think they're really dense, but also like unnecessarily drawn out, while all being 90 minutes long. Like
this felt
first,
so long.
But I feel
the
like the
only
first,
one that feels like a good runtime.
Yeah. But the first like say 30 or 40 minutes, I was like, this movie's fucking moving. Like I felt like the first like 30, 40 minutes
happens.
Flew by. Mm-hmm. And then it's like one of those things where I think the more that we get into the world of the tall man, the less invested I am. And I think that's why the first one works.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah, like that's why the first one works, is that it's all just a shroud of mystery. So you're just watching these three very likable people try to solve a crazy mystery at the mausoleum in their town. Because like
it's my very notes, Scooby-Doo. That's why you like it.
Oh, I love it. But no, like a lot of my notes that I wrote down was like, you know, like this possessed nurse in the beginning. Fucking awesome. Like the pus flying everywhere. The orb bursts out of her head. There's the eyeball inside the orb. And you're
great.
Just like,
some really good effects. Yeah. Really, really fun gags throughout this movie for sure. But I don't think it doesn't save it a lot for me.
No. But then you introduce like Tim. Like the introduction of Tim is great. He throws literally like a razor blade freeze.
What, Home Alone 3? Like rated R version?
To Hawaii somebody.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Like that's the stuff where it's fun. But, like, so I want to talk about this real quick, because I wrote this down. And I wrote, Jody doesn't actually help too much here. He provides them no new information, and if nothing, slows them down and allows the tall man to capture Mike. Like, they're already packing their bags to leave, and then he just shows up to be like, hey, you guys better pack your bags.
Like, I'll try and hold them off. And then he just gets, like, burnt, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a dad that rushes around so early in the morning and then is like, you guys getting ready? And it's like, yeah, I'm putting my shoes on, dad. Like, if
it's
you
4 a.m. We got to get to the airport.
I was literally about to say it's an airport, dad. It's the, it's the dad that's like, you got to get up at 12. 12 hours before the flight, 7 hours before check-in. Hurry up.
Yeah. So here's the thing about this movie that I think I have the biggest problem with. It's the fact that the guys that they got back the original trio. So, yeah. I mean, Reggie Bannister has been in all of them, right? And then they get Jody, the original actor for Jody, and then they get the original Mike, who is not the guy that played Mike in Phantasm 2.
And he's not Pauly Shore either. He looks a lot like Pauly Shore. He's not.
Don't but be fooled.
But here's the thing, is that Jody and Mike can't fucking act at all. They are awful. They are like cardboard characters reading lines. It's like a table read, and they've just learned how to read yesterday.
Yeah,
but here's the thing.
No, it's bad.
So
it's unfortunate.
But to say the opposite here a little bit, not saying that they can act, but I think that Don Coscarelli is also very smart in limiting their screen time and just focusing on Reggie. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he's
but
like
that's,
the whole.
That was the payoff though of this movie is that it was getting the original trio back on screen because the two guys didn't want to do Phantasm 2.
Yeah. And it's not even that they didn't want to from what I read. So I didn't get all of the information here, but I read two things. First of all, it said, after a bunch of studio interference forced out A. Michael Baldwin in the second film, he was finally able to return in the third one. So I think there was a lot of studio interference, which didn't stop because it said that the movie had a brief 2-week theatrical run in just two markets in May of 1994. Mm-hmm. It was in Baton Rouge and St. Louis. And in both of those markets, it was the highest grossing film for the 2 weeks in a row that it played, but still Universal refused to distribute it wide and just dropped it as like a straight to video.
But then it became the highest grossing straight to video of the year, right?
Yeah.
I think I read that little snippet, which
was
crazy.
It was one of the top 10 highest selling direct video titles of all time.
Yeah.
I have Coscarelli's book True Indie next to my bed. It's underneath the short story collection that's taken me so long to get through. But it's on deck and I'm so interested. I mean, I think all of these tidbits are so interesting in his whole career, not just Phantasm, you know, because obviously he's done other things that we all really love, but his sort of like in and out of that system and those settings and how he does this DIY stuff is so interesting to me. Even when it falls flat, I'm sitting there watching Phantasm 3 being like, this movie's fucking all over the place.
Yeah,
but it has like I don't know if I can follow along necessarily, but I'm understanding or appreciating the jumps to get to these things that are happening in the story.
I have a feeling that Bubba Hotep specifically is probably the only time you'll really see Don Coscarelli do some type of linear storytelling, like some type of like very laid out, easy to follow storytelling. I don't know, but like the Phantasm movies, but like the Phantasm movies in general, I just feel like it is about mood over plot every single time, because there's moments, like there's a scene where the tall man is surrounded by all of these orbs as he's talking to Mike, as Mike's laying on the ground. And it's such an effective and simple shot. You know what I mean? Like,
balloons on the ceiling.
That's what I mean. I'm like, I'm looking at it. I know that they just have these orbs on some strings and they're just bobbing up and down a little bit. But like what it's supposed to be conveying in that moment, it's like, yeah, this kid's fucked. Like he's like surrounded by these things. Also, I know that they do it in every single movie. I will never get sick of watching an orb drill into someone's head and just a steady stream of blood squirt out
the backside of it. What was her name? Tanya? It was Rocky's pal
girlfriend,
and then the girlfriend. If it's her girlfriend, she was not that worked up when she got
fair. Just her friend. Just her friend in the war zone.
Friend that is a girl. How's that?
Yeah.
But you know,
That was also some pretty bad acting. The best, I really think that the best orb kills like that are in two. The Undertaker type characters are so over the top. Like, this movie is really over the top in concept and execution, but it just feels like some of these people could not be directed, you know? All that said, Reggie fighting the mutant hands of the tall man.
Highlight of the movie.
Probably the highlight of the movie. What I was going to say. And it's practical and it's hilarious. And it's also, you get the hand up the pants and you think the Reggie Bannister is going to get his dick, like...
That little horn dog should have had his dick ripped off. I mean,
he is the horniest motherfucker in horror movies. It's crazy.
He really is.
I do have to laugh at, there's literally a scene where he's having sex with Rocky while Jody is trying to have a conversation.
Fully clothed, which is dream logic. Yep. Sure. Yes. Maybe.
The other thing. At the end of the day, all of these movies are dream logic. That's why
they're called Phantasm.
And it's hard to discuss them too. I remember having trouble even with Phantasm 2, which is probably the most straightforward of the movies. But I feel like the entire Phantasm franchise is, as we said, like respect but don't necessarily enjoy. Like, but I get where the appeal is for a certain type of audience. Like, because this is like visually. Like, the stuff that, like, comes out of his brain and that he puts in these movies are, like, visually interesting. And they are the things of nightmares, where it's, like, stuff that doesn't make any logical sense. And that's why it's so unsettling when you wake up. Like, that's, like, at the end of the day. When you wake up and you're, like, having a panic attack from, like, a nightmare, very rarely is it what scared you in the nightmare. But it's almost like your brain is trying to recalibrate sense out of all of the craziness that you were just like hit with at once. Because when you start to think about the dream after a while, you're like, what the fuck was happening?
Ridiculous.
Why was I riding in a school bus with a guy that I haven't seen in 30 years firing at zombies? Like,
Oh, that one's easy,
Matt.
That's a good bonus episode.
Worst nightmare.
Analyze Matt's dreams.
Gotta get Kyle's life on here.
Wait, can I? Talking about dreams real quick, I have to share this because this has never happened to me before, and that shocks me. This seems like something that should happen all the time. Is that my dream set me up for a pun inside of the dream, which was that
the best.
Which was that I was volunteering for something, and you know, like when you're a volunteer, they'll give you like a wristband or something like that. For some reason, at this location, you were pinning a pickle to your pocket, and I couldn't get it to work, so I just put the pickle in my pocket, and someone asked me why I didn't pin it, and I said, well, I tried, but it wasn't gherkin.
What?
Dude, that's I can't
incredible.
Believe that's incredible. I can't believe you went into business for yourself on a fucking pun. That would never happen.
I woke up and texted my girlfriend the next morning, and I was just like, babe, you're gonna be so proud of me. I had the best pun in my dream.
Hi, friends. The world got you down. Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
Hello everyone, we're Superhero Stuff You Should Know, and if you think you know about superheroes and comic books, think again.
We got romance, we got action,
romance.
We got comedy, we got everything you need, man. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know for all your superhero needs.
I don't know about this romance, what part are you talking about?
We've got all kinds of sketches, and then deep dives on top of that. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
Alright, so come on down to... Wait, why did I say come on down? To Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
Phantasm 3, Lord of the Dead.
Yeah.
How do you save the night after you watch this one?
I just want to watch John dies at the end.
Dude, me too!
Me I just too. Wanna, we're yeah. both, we're gonna have that yeah. together.
Okay, you're I'm co-signing yeah, on that yeah. one.
No, I just I think that you know all those things that I'm that are jumping around story wise, and yes, it's still attached to the Phantasm world, but it's like the energy of it and the excitement of it, and like the like balls to the wallness of it, just feels like John dies at the end for me.
You know, so I wrote down something else, and this jumped to my mind specifically when the hand monster is attacking Reggie. Which is like, we've given a lot of credit to Don Coscarelli and what he's been able to do with minimal budgets and like working with his friends.
Smart man.
But Sam Raimi, I still think, is the king of doing that. So like, while I was watching this, I was like, I kind of wish that this was more like Evil Dead 2. Evil Dead 2 walks that line of like, it also is like kind of hard to follow a little bit and a little goofy and a little dream logic, but it's just so fun. And I think that this movie starts really fun, like introducing Tim and Rocky, and like introducing the gang is a delight, and then once the gang is fully formed, then it's just kind of like mediocre fight scenes and like and everything. So I wish that this had just a little bit of Evil Dead 2 Dead by Dawn mixed into it. Now, at the time that you're listening to this, the time is closing in. We are so close to Creature Feature Weekend, so don't miss out on hanging out with us on April 19th.
You can follow
21st.
The three hearses from Phantasm 3 that were drove by to the hearse show that they do at Creature Feature Weekend, and you can meet us there.
Yeah, hang out. And also visit our website, hmnpodcast.com. You can buy all types of apparel. And if you're really loving the show, go to patreon.com/hmnpodcast. And, you know, see the videos of us, listen to our bonus chats, or get an episode early, or just join the Slack. The Slack's a good ass time. Kyle, I must ask you now, what have you been up to? What have you been watching, reading, listening to, etc.? I know you've been a busy boy, but.
Yeah, so I have been a busy boy. So I this is totally different, but I just have this stack next to me of. We're talking about Creature Feature Weekend. It's coming up in a month. I've been stocking up the inventory for horror finds. So I just want to give the listeners, and if you're on the Patreon, the viewers, some book covers and some things that I have that
you've acquired.
Hopefully, will be at Creature Feature Weekend unless they sell beforehand. So I mean, the first one is that there's some of these. Do you guys remember the Blair Witch? Books came out that were like case
I don't know
files.
Anything about that.
So these books came out at, obviously post Blair Witch Project, but they are like sort of case files of like the other happenings that happen near the woods or in the woods or involved with the Blair Witch. They're not quite young adult, but I remember them being sold on like Scholastic.
It feels like it's in the same realm as the one book series that I am a single book away from completing, which was the 4-part Friday the 13th young adult novels from the 90s, where it was different teenagers finding the hockey mask and being possessed by Jason and killing their friends. Yeah.
And this feels a lot, honestly, this feels a lot like the Hellraiser scripts that, like, got, you know, these are just books that got Blair Witch IP put onto them. Yeah. I don't know if that's actually entirely true, but it gives off that vibe.
It doesn't seem hard to just change the location in a book and call it a day. Just like a quick control F and put it all in the same woods and be done with it.
I have a handful of new sort of, like, occult and alien books. This one is kind of my favorite cover. It's called The Secret Power of Pyramids by Bill Scholl and Ed Petit. I don't really know what pyramids are going to do for us, but I know somebody at Creature Feature Weekend is going to tell me and then buy this book, hopefully. So I have that. And then my favorite find so far is that Billy Dee Williams wrote a book with Rob McGregor called Psynet. I'm just going to read the back of it to you, and then I will be done with this segment so not spoil the rest of what I'm bringing with me. But with former Air Force Major Trent Calloway's marriage ruined in the aftermath of his psychic spying, don't know what that means, he wants to forget about his past, especially the tragedy that changed his life when he was involved in a government remote viewing project. Unwittingly, Calloway and his team were being drugged during his remote viewing sessions, and now the drug is causing ever-increasing side effects in himself and the other government spies he worked with. and their psychic abilities are still expanding at frightening rates. The unknown drug he and the others took has bound them together in a deadly psychic nexus, a psi-net. Now, Calloway must fight for his life and his sanity as he battles the security of the United States and, battles for the security of the United States and his people. Feels like some real bootlicker shit, but I just can't believe that Billy Dee Williams is part of this, and I can't believe that it exists. And I'm happy to bring it, and I'm happy that somebody will hopefully go home with it and tell me more about it. We're going to have a really great horrifying selection at Creature Feature Weekend.
I'm also bringing some gifts for your horrifying collection.
Scott, you shouldn't have.
We went to an estate sale just a mile or two from the house just a couple days ago, and the guy was an avid sci-fi collector. And
hell yeah.
Apparently, and it was like a dollar a book. It was crazy. But there was somebody that came the day before that bought $100 worth of books. So I just got there were the dregs. So I found some cool
stuff.
Some Heinlein, a couple of these very sleazy sci-fi books that are like heavy metal adjacent. Heavy metal.
Yeah.
Magazine.
The comic.
So very interested to read a little bit of the one, but I don't know if it's worth keeping. I don't think so. I doubt it. So they're going with me to Creature Feature to hit the horrifying shelves.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, that it's. I just haven't. This is all happened because I normally don't go to the sci-fi section of this store that I normally go to, and I took the time today and I just combed through, and there was some real oddball shit, and I'm excited for it to go to a good home. And if not, then maybe I read it. But that's always not been my... sci-fi has never been my thing, so it's just why...
Yeah, I'm not as much of a sci-fi guy either, so it's... But it is nice to share the love.
Yes, exactly. And find things that I think other people will find interesting and, be able to at least talk on a synopsis level. And it's just one of my... I mean, that's the whole reason sometimes we have a table at Creature Feature, is to be able to actually talk to people.
That's 90% of it. We very rarely, sometimes it's not the case. This isn't the case, but very rarely do we sell enough stuff to make up the cost of the table. But ultimately what we do make, which is as valuable, is growth of the show and new people discovering the show and just, shaking the hands and meeting people who we've never met before who already know the show and love it. I mean, that definitely puts some extra gas in the tank for all three of us to keep powering through into the next year. So
we kiss hands and shake babies. It's a beautiful thing that we get to do.
It's lovely.
Over at Creature Feature.
Next year. I think that people may think that this is a little bit more glamorous than it actually is. Like, a musician friend of mine was like, hey, do you know any podcasts that have guests on to kind of just shoot the shit about hobbies? Because he's trying to, get word out that his band is back after a 10-year hiatus. One thing about podcasting is that it's even more lonely than being a musician, because even for what we do, and we have a TikTok and we have a Facebook page and we have an Instagram, and we do have regular interactions with people, but so much of this is us alone, not knowing if people are gonna like what we're doing. It's a weird headspace. If you're in a band, you get that kind of response if you play shows regularly.
From performing.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
We really love convention season.
Yeah.
We're not trying to make money. We're just trying to, share our love of the genre and meet people that like what we do.
Yeah, well, that's our performance aspect. I understand what you're alluding to, that's our performance aspect of the whole thing, is to show up, and yet maybe we've been performing all year, and this is the one, but we don't know. We could just be shouting into the void. There's numbers and there's things and there's interactions on social media, but they're totally different than when we get be there and talk to people.
I've heard people say this, and I want to repeat this because I get it. Is when you're a fan of something, you are also worried that you're going to be a bother to that person. And you're like, I'll just let them be. Like, I don't want to be a bother. Mm. But I can tell you, as someone who's been selling shirts at venues for a band and people coming up to me just to tell me how much they love One Hit Thunder or Weird Algorithm, or like doing, you know, I do more of the horror conventions than any of us, because I'll just like load up my car and go to some like nowhere town on the East Coast and do a show. Like, it never gets old. In fact, it makes it's sometimes it's bad. I get so excited. I pay more than I normally would for hotel food, because I'm just like, fuck it, I could do it. I'm a celebrity.
It goes right to your head, Matt.
but no, it never ever gets old. But anyway, moving from that on to my what did I watch this week? I'll keep this short and sweet, because we're talking about independent movies and doing a lot with a little. And Scott's already talked about this movie at length, but I finally watched Dave Made a Maze, which is just such an incredible, visually interesting film that was made for
Kyle,
like
did you watch
five...
it?
I haven't watched it.
Okay.
Oh, no. Kyle, put it on your list. It's so great.
That should be very high up on your list, and you should be very high when you're watching it on that list.
Love it.
I can't imagine being full of Doritos watching that shit.
And I'll give you a
but
high
I think
five.
That it's something you and Carly would enjoy. You would enjoy it from an art stance. Carly would just enjoy it for a visual stance, probably. But like, it is a $500,000 movie in which a guy builds, basically just puts three or four refrigerator boxes together and is hanging out in it, but can't get out because he's lost in the labyrinth. And his friends think that he's goofing until they go inside of it, and it's like 100 times the size of what he's designed, and it's got all of these booby traps and monsters inside of this cardboard labyrinth that he's built. And it can kill people, and it does kill people. But what's fascinating about this movie is that I read that the director basically just like they found a bunch of cardboard, and they just would build a single room out of that cardboard, film all of the footage that they needed to film in that room, then tear it down and reuse the cardboard to build the next room. And just like, we're literally just constructing and reconstructing a set in a single room over and over and over again with a group of friends, and making this like really interesting feature length fantasy comedy film with like a slight dash of horror stuff. But the horror is never taken seriously for 1 second. So it's, I mean, this is like, if you're trying to get like someone who doesn't like horror movies to watch a movie that's got just like a tiny dose of it, this is perfect. Even the gore is not gore. It's silly string and yarn and stuff. So it's just very, it's very imaginative and fun. It's on Prime right now. I think it might also be on Peacock. But either way, it's a blast. Knock it out in 80 minutes. And, you know, I watched it sober, and this is one of the few times where I was like, I wonder what this would be like fucking flying high as a kite, because there's moments in this movie.
I can't imagine Matt on a substance. Yeah. Holy shit.
There's moments in that movie where it just jumps into crazy fantastical shit. And I was like, I bet if I was... I'm screaming in my house sober. I'm sure if I was high, I would have been like, what the fuck? But anyway, Scott, take us home with your little segment.
I'm going to tell you guys just about a movie that I watched. Again, TikTok hit me with it. And I didn't hate it, but it went beyond what I wanted. In a weird way, because you know I complain about things that don't go as far as I want. So I watched Deliver Us. Have you guys heard about it? I think it was from 2022, maybe 2023.
I can see
I think
it's the poster.
Yeah,
the poster
I feel
is
like
this woman with like, she's in this, it's like water, but it's in the shape of a cross.
Maybe.
And it's like ice around it. Well, the idea is that it's this woman.
Oh, no, I know nothing about this.
Okay. Well, this nurse, because the name is not very good.
No.
The nurse... This is also one of the... I wanted to mention it today because it feels like a passion project, because I'm pretty sure it was written and directed by the same person. But it's this woman who... What's a novice nun? Whatever, you know, like the She's not a full nun.
A convent cutie is what we call them.
Sure, that's exactly what we're going to call it. Wow, guys. How am I the least problematic in this section? Anyway, so this young woman gets immaculately concepted, and she has twins. One is the Christ, and one is the Antichrist. She knows they speak to her.
With a yin and yang.
Yes. And the idea is that there is this secret society of priests, I guess, that know of this prophecy. It's been foretold. And they are like, it's not time for the apocalypse, so they're gonna kill the babies. And then this other priest like saves her from the convent, and they go on the run, and she has the babies, and they're psychic, or they're like, you know, telepathic, and they can control people, and it's kind of like this battle of wills.
The babies can.
Yes. Okay. The nun who's the mom wants to keep them alive. The priest that's with her is like, I don't know what to do. There's this kind of like question of which baby is trying to kill the other baby, because one of them is like, do this and you will have my kingdom, and do this and you'll have everything you want, and like they kind of like whisper in people's brains and stuff. It went chronologically way longer than I wanted it to. Not runtime, but like chronologically in the story. And I was like, it really lost steam. The first act was so cool. And then once the babies were born, I almost said hatched. Once the babies were born, I was just like, so what's the point? You know, it did not really have a great resolution, but it was beautiful to watch. It was very well shot.
It didn't deliver you for anything.
Yes, exactly. But it was pretty fun for someone like myself who likes religious horror. I'm just really stoked because by the time this comes out, I think the movie will be in theaters, but Immaculate, starring Sydney Sweeney, is the exact same concept. But there won't be two babies. I think it's just like she has the Antichrist in her stomach. I don't know exactly. In her body. I don't know. But the trailers look fucking sweet. So, you know, I'm a sucker for that kind of shit. So I watched that.
That's nice. That kind of sounds like a relatively fresh take to have this sort of dichotomy of like it's both. You have both. Thing like both good and evil that you have to deal with.
The concept's cool, the cinematography's great, the budget's great, the acting's good. It just seems like it kind of doesn't go where I wanted it to go at the end. That's the only criticism I have. I would say anybody that likes religious horror, you should watch it.
Yeah,
it's not as good as The Nun though.
Few are we will be back next week with guys. I think I should have made a bigger deal
announcement
about this.
Yeah,
We hit record, because guys, this was our 449th episode, which means that next week is 450 episodes of Horror Movie Night.
Well, you can tell us what's going on. We can bring it back. We can totally bring it back.
No, I'm just saying, this is big news, so stay tuned to see what we pick as our 450th movie.
Hi friends, the world got you down. Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.